Hello, and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Pastor Todd Chipman, one of the elders at MCC, and our hope is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. And today, we are privileged to have Jim and Kim Vians and Austin and Renee Eiler with us on the Voices of MCC podcast. And we are, this Valentine's season, thinking about marriage and family. And I am just delighted to have some of my friends here to reflect on the Lord's goodness and hopefully be an encouragement for you. Jim and Kim have been married 25 years. This year will be 26. And they have a wealth of marriage experience and parenting and the Lord's goodness upon them in so many ways. I'm excited to hear just a bit of their story. Some of you know it. Some are just getting to know Jim and Kim. And in the years to come, will more so. So we'll get a chance to hear from them and Austin and Renee Eiler. Austin and Renee have been married about a year and a half. Coming close to two now, I guess about a year and two-thirds, and our parents twice, one, a daughter Abby, and then expecting again and excited to think with them about life and the Lord's goodness in marriage and having children quickly in marriage and surviving COVID some here. So lots to talk about. Jim and Kim, welcome. I want to start with you. Married 25 years and 26 this year. Give us just a nugget. How did you two meet?
We met working at Walmart together. Actually, it was as interesting the fact that we even crossed paths because Kim worked an evening shift processing returns to go back to the vendors, and I worked night receiving from 10 in the evening to 7 in the morning. So she was just getting ready to leave, wrapping up her day as I was coming in, and she caught my eye.
Now, that just changed all of our perspective about Walmart. Friends who have been a part of MCC for years know we had a couple in our church who were members and have actually gone out now, and he is pastoring elsewhere, but she got converted in a Walmart parking lot. So you can get saved and you can meet your spouse at Walmart. So everything's different now. Next time you go and it smells and you can't find what you're looking for and there are 50 people in line in front of you, think about the kingdom and the altar. And Walmart just got better. Jim and Kim, married now 25 years, and you have been at Masters how long?
We've been at Masters, I believe it is 19 years. We started coming there in 2002.
It's so fun to think back over the years and children who have been born to you and been a part of MCC, and very fun to think of how the Lord has worked in their lives and in yours these years, and just richness. Austin and Renee, great to have you with us as well. How did you two meet?
We met at a previous church. I was joining as a member, and Renee saw me on stage for the first time. We didn't think anything of each other for a while, but it wasn't until a later fellowship event at actually Renee's dad's birthday party where I asked her if I could just talk to her. I didn't have any interest in her really, just wanted to get to know her more as a person. And about 3 hours later in our conversation, we thought very differently of each other than we did at the beginning. And it wasn't long after that we started dating.
Well, that is a date, isn't it? I mean, 3 hour conversation. What do you call that? That's great. So fun to, I can see that happening, and you're still talking. It's fun to see you two yet so in love with one another. And I had the privilege of doing your wedding ceremony and your marriage counseling. It has been a thrill for me to see how you seem more in love now than then. That's fun, and it's great. And Renee, you have a little girl named Abby and expecting again. When you think about marriage, you also think about motherhood. Reflect on that for just a moment for us.
Yeah, so I think It was very interesting just becoming a mom so soon after becoming a wife. I really had no idea what I was doing. I still don't really know. But it was really neat for me to see just both of us kind of becoming parents. And it's a night and day difference between you're a parent one day and when you weren't the night before. So I think it's really neat to just see how that transition happens so quickly. And you're learning together. You're not sleeping together, and you're, you know, figuring out how to take care of such a tiny little human being. So I think it's one thing that was really neat for me was to just see, it was a new level of vulnerability for us both, where we were, you know, low on sleep and schedules were just completely off. And then, I think the Lord really brought us closer together through that, just being able to see new sides to each other that we hadn't seen before. And it definitely wasn't always easy, but the Lord's definitely been faithful through that. And it's definitely neat to see Austin in Abby too, whether it's in her smile or her laugh or her personality. It's just neat to see how the Lord kind of weaves two people together and makes a new person out of it.
It is. And just seeing you two thrive really as a couple, as husband and wife, and as parents at the same time here, this last year has been such a thrill for me. And I think many in our fellowship, it's been an encouragement because they've seen a young couple who has been through the transitions of life in terms of marriage and parenting pretty quickly. But you've also had to transition of life with COVID, right? I don't know if that's the right word. Transition is the right word, or just bear the burden of social distancing and relational distancing and so forth. That's not easy for any couple, but I feel badly for young couples, young families, high school seniors, college freshmen, these kinds of things. Austin, how has the Lord helped you all in this time?
Yeah, so Abby was born on April 3rd, right at the beginning of COVID, and it was definitely a very difficult transition. We were sort of already self-quarantining in the sense, just with Abby being born and not really wanting to go out into the public sphere for the first couple weeks of her life. But then that's when the lockdown started. And so what we thought was going to be a 2-week quarantine, or not even a quarantine, but just a 2 weeks of Abby building an immune system, became something of a multi-month shelter in place kind of thing. So that was definitely a very difficult transition. And like you said, it really is just coping. The hardest thing for me was loss of fellowship with the church. We had technology to do Facebook Live and Zoom meetings with our MCG, but it is not even close to the real thing. So that was definitely hard for us.
Yeah, I recall a couple of summers ago, Austin, when you first got married, when we had our men's Bible study, and you were a newlywed guy, and we'd get to hang out at men's Bible study and catch up more, and we'd play Ultimate Frisbee beforehand and sweat ourselves to death and then go be in the Word, and I miss those kinds of times, looking forward to them again. It's just been great to see the Lord's strength upon you. Jim and Kim, this last year with the pandemic has for your family had some challenges as well. Some entertaining moments for MCC with Kim and Liz halfway around the world and gallivanting here and there to try to get home at the start of all that. But that was just kind of the beginning of COVID and you all. When you think back over this last year, how has the Lord helped you just in this last year?
Really just pouring His grace out on us. There were so many challenges in our family this past year specifically, that just God showing his unadulterated goodness to us in so many different ways. And just growing in a deeper appreciation and love for God and his providence.
Yes, when we think about the obviously transition with Liz, and we go back to April, and it was March actually, wasn't it, Kim, when you and Liz went over on your trip?
Yes, it was March.
March, so that speedy there and back so quickly was the beginning of it. And then the year has obviously had bigger challenges than just COVID, with Hannah going to be with the Lord and the transition that you've had to endure with that, even though we knew it was coming at some point. It was in the midst of this harder time. And how is the Lord even sustaining you now, a couple of months out as a married couple?
Really just providing us resources to be able to cope with moving on in life after such a loss. And interestingly enough, rekindling our excitement for new things and looking forward for making plans for new things for the coming year and years beyond, and making those plans together as a husband and wife, just including each other and just building up a vision for our life together as we get closer to being empty nesters.
Jim, what you've just said right there, I think is so crucial for every married couple to hear. And from you and the year that you've had, the wisdom, your statement here that you two planning life together for the two of you is absolutely important for every husband and wife to hear, because your children will leave someday. They will leave the home. and it's just going to, yeah, hopefully, and it'll just be you two. And I appreciate the sweetness in your voice, planning what the Lord has for you too. And Julie and I are the same at times, just looking ahead. Hey, we're not that far away from empty nest. What is our family really about right now? Is our marriage a part of this, or are we just running hither and yon? How much is this about God and our marriage? And that's crucial for younger couples to know as well. Jim, I think about this last few years, one of the burdens that the Lord has put on your heart is staying married and an emphasis on marriage. And I think about your situation right now in the last year that the Lord has given you a number of challenges, and now you're stronger in your marriage because of the preparation you've done for times like this. Can you just unpack that for us in terms of how the Lord's helpfulness these last few years to think about marriage is helping you now in what has been a harder season?
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit at first and let all the listeners know that it hasn't always been rainbows and unicorns in our marriage. There's been some challenges. Even fairly recently, I mean, within the last 5 to 10 years. And that's, God used that as an opportunity to get my attention. And that's when I started turning my heart more towards what I can do to be a better husband and father and leader in my home. And it's kind of like the same thing that we're studying about in 2 Chronicles with the reign of Hezekiah, that it began, all the Hezekiah began with all of these reforms in Judah, to turn the hearts back towards God, towards worshiping him in the way he's prescribed. And then when the difficulties came, I know this is going to be tomorrow's sermon, but the listeners won't hear this until after that, so I don't have to worry about stealing thunder. But when Hezekiah is confronted with this massive confrontation with a pagan king, he's able to stand firm under the promises of God, since he had returned the nation back to following God's commands and following the law of Moses and worshiping God according to that. Then he had confidence that he and the people had confidence that God would hold up his end of those promises and provide the protection and blessing on Israel that he had given to Moses. And it's the same thing with our marriage, where I made that change. I started thinking more about what I can do for Kim and the kids rather than being selfish and what I can get out of it myself. And that set the groundwork for God to provide blessings when things got hard.
Such rich encouragement, Jim. Austin, I want to think with you here a moment about marriage. And Jim just talked about being prepared and just the Lord's work the last several years to really set them up for the ability to endure a harder season. You're one of the most prepared people that I know. As a student, you were prepared, you were organized, church member, you want to know what's happening, you want to know what's happening after that. It's a great quality to have, and I hope your tribe increases. Right now, and we talked about this in marriage counseling and even just in casual conversation, you're preparing yourself and your family for what's to come in the future. It may be in a terms of a purchase, a life situation. You've been prepared for a new job and now you have that job. What is the Lord doing in your lives now in terms of passages he's using to encourage you, to stabilize you, to grow you, to prepare you for the next season, if you will?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think when I think of the Lord and I think of our marriage, I really think of just how consistent God is. And one of the verses that have stood out most to us in our marriage, even before we were married, when we were dating, in fact, I got this inscribed on the inside of Renee's engagement ring, is Psalm 18:30, just the reference, but the verse says, "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true, and he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him." And really, Jim, and the experiences I've witnessed in him, even just over the last year with Hannah and with Liz moving across the other side of the world, ways that we prepare ourselves for the future, it's really just through his word. And seeing that he is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. And so if God is the bulwark, our hope is to just put ourselves behind him and we're on his team and he's going to fight the battles on our behalf. And what that looks like is just reading his word, being consistent. We try to read together. We are not the most consistent people, but we do try to read together and pray together. That's one thing. We pray together every single night. I would say 28 out of 30 days a month, we pray together every single night before we go to bed. And we've done that since we were dating even before we were engaged. We've always prayed together at the end of every night.
That's going to set you up for success in the future, no matter what comes. You are building your house on the rock. You are seeking him, and the Lord is going to continue to strengthen you in that, as Jim just mentioned with Hezekiah, and we've seen this over and over in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. People seek the Lord, and there's strength and stability, not perfection, but there's stability to endure when things are difficult. Well, Kim, I want to ask you a question here, just as we think about Jim, and I love Jim, and one of the things Jim and I like to do is eat. So we eat together a lot, and that's a good thing. We both like barbecue. What's Jim's favorite barbecue in Kansas City?
Jack Stacks.
Jim, is she right?
I love their beans.
Yes.
I will throw hands with somebody that disputes if they have the best beans in the city. But actually for the meat, I've been leaning towards Woodyard.
Yes. That just is making my mouth water. Jim, what is Kim's favorite restaurant in Kansas City?
I think maybe Jose Peppers. She likes Mexican.
Yes, he is right.
He is right. I like Jose Peppers too. I like most food. You could say about anything. So that's my favorite restaurant. I can't wait to go again. Kim, Chipotle, or let me come back rather, the wrong CH, Chick-fil-A, not Chipotle, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes? What's
Chick-fil-A.
Better?
Chick-fil-A.
Jim, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
I'll Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A also. Renee, how about you? What is Austin's favorite barbecue in Kansas City?
That's a hard one. He's not a huge fan of barbecue, I think. I don't know. He likes Woodyards pretty well and Jack Stack. I don't know that I would say he has a favorite barbecue place.
Austin, what do you think Renee's favorite restaurant is in KC?
Renee's favorite restaurant? By the way, she was spot on the barbecue. I'm not a huge barbecue fan. I like it. I'll eat it, but it's not, I don't have a favorite barbecue. So good job. Her favorite restaurant, that's a tough one. Probably just Chick-fil-A. We eat there more than we should.
It's all right.
A salad and fries.
Yeah. You're not the only one who eats there a lot, right? That's a most successful franchise in the country for fast food, I think, or maybe all restaurants. So doing just A-okay. So I don't need to ask Popeyes or Chick-fil-A, do I?
No.
That's a mute point. So Austin, we'll go back to Chipotle. If Renee goes to Chipotle, what does she order?
She would get a steak bowl with a tortilla on the side.
You're one of those people. You have to pay the extra quarter now.
There's an extra quarter involved?
Is that new?
That's new. Yes. If you want your tortilla on the side, you got to pay. Isn't that funny? You got to pay a quarter.
Wow.
What's next? Payphones? So, Renee, what does Austin get at Chipotle?
He would also get a bowl, a burrito bowl with chicken in it. And he would get a tortilla on the side, and then he would pack all of his meat into his tortilla. Because you actually get more meat if you get a bowl with a tortilla instead of just a burrito, a plain burrito.
Yeah, love it. So fun. Well, when we think about marriage, you have been married, Austin and Renee, year and two-thirds about. Going to have a second child here in 2021, Jim and Kim, 25 years. Give a word or two of advice, just anything I haven't covered yet, to young couple. So Austin, I'll start with you. Word or two of advice. Renee, word or two. Jim, word or two. Kim, word or two.
Yeah, this is really hard because I know I'm stealing Renee's, so she needs to start thinking now. But I would say forgiveness would be key in all things in our marriage, being very quick to let things go, not going down, like don't let the sun go down with anger still looming in the air. Even if you're upset and it's time to go to bed, at least apologize and tell each other you love each other and continue the conversation. And then to add to that, maybe clearing the air of things and processing them and discussing them and not just letting things turn into bitterness or grudges over time and let there be hardening in that, but really resolving things.
Renee.
He did steal mine. So, one thing that comes to mind is I think probably one of the biggest things for us has been intentionality with each other. I think something I've been thinking about, especially recently, is just, you know, if after the first, I would say after the first year, you don't really realize it, but maybe you start being a little bit less intentional with one another, just in day-to-day life. Like, we try to go on consistent date nights, which I think is also really important for young couples, for any couples, to have a consistent date night, not just to plan it for, you know, every 3 months or whatever, but have a time in spite of, you know, babies and whatever else, but have a time where you can go out just the two of you, and it doesn't have to be expensive, but just make that intentional. And then just be really intentional throughout the day as well, where it's easy when you're dating, when you're engaged, when you're first married, to, you know, do sweet things for your spouse, or to, you know, to be really consistent in praying for them. But, you know, we've only been married a little under 2 years, and I find myself forgetting to do that, to, you know, to write him little notes, and to, you know, leave him something special, or get him his favorite dessert, or just whatever it might be, those little things that make a really huge difference, that that tell your spouse throughout the day, like, I love you and I'm thinking about you and you're on my mind. And it just, it helps keep marriage as a pivotal focus in your life, in the midst of, you know, especially like for us right now, it's in the midst of having a baby and just life transitions, and it's easy to get focused on those things more than we're being intentional with one another.
Thanks so much, Renee. Jim?
Talk about things, especially big things, before they're an issue. A couple examples I'll give. Kim and I talked before we even got married, started talking about the idea of her staying home with the kids when we started having kids. And we discussed it, talked it through, came to a decision, and we stayed with that. So it wasn't this big blow-up fight when we started having kids and her saying, well, I want to keep my job. I want to go to work. The other one was, once we did have kids, Elizabeth was maybe a year old, and we were already talking about possibly homeschooling. That way, when it was time for her to start school, it's not a big decision that we're trying to cram in there and, again, blow it up into a big fight. We have this all worked out ahead of time. And we just did what we said we were going to do and didn't look back, in spite of the fact that there were people in both of our families that didn't agree with some of the decisions that we made. We just stuck together and said, you know, this is our family. We will make the decisions for our family, and we appreciate their input, but we don't have to do it their way. So really just discussing big things like that before they become an issue, if at all possible.
Thanks, Jim. Kim, wrap it up for us. What word of advice would you give maybe to a younger mom?
I think it's really important when you're married to do two things. One, do your best to understand how your husband or your spouse communicates, how they begin to understand one another, and learn to just really listen and talk less and just have really good communication. And along with that is when there's a decision to be made, and you've prayed about it, to make that decision in confidence. No second guessing. Why didn't we do this? We should have done that. Just, we made our decision in confidence before each other and the Lord, and be strong in it. And that helps a lot, because there's no second guessing. Second thing is encouraging one another on hard days, or when the person, your spouse, is struggling and you know that they're working hard to make changes or think differently or do something different because they know you like the dishes done one way and they want to do it a different way, and they're working at trying to change and just encourage. We can be strengthened in our marriage when we're encouraged by one another on a daily basis.
Friends, you have just heard a wealth of good advice from four very good friends of mine, and I trust that you will take those to heart. This has been a great time. Austin, Renee, Jim, and Kim, thank you so much. I think this is going to cast a long shadow. I'm going to link this for couples in the future that I do marriage premarital counseling for, or marriage counseling. This is going to be a part of the curriculum. Sit and listen to you all maybe years from now. And maybe we can come back and do this again next Valentine's Day. I don't know, but been married under 2 years, been married 25 years, and a lot of information here that encourages us. Thank you, friends, and those listening to Voices of MCC podcast. We look forward to connecting with you next time. Great being with you today.
Cheers.